9:23, Midday Chalk. Welcome to our high school half hour. Joe C. along with Ryan the Hacker Green. Hack, how you doing, man?
Joe, I'm good, man. It's a big weekend this upcoming Friday of football here on the First Coast.
Well, we're going to look back at last week's high school action. More football being played early in the week and later in the week. Thanks to the Golf Club of Southampton and Beaver Toyota St. Augustine. They help bring you the high school half hour. Beaver Toyota, a great place to go and buy that next brand new vehicle or perhaps a pre-owned. I have 5 Toyotas in my stable. Bought them all from Beaver Toyota, and you will get a great deal as well there. Make sure you check them out. All right, now, as we look back real quick, we're going to say hello to Coach Kelvin Smith of Rebalt with an impressive win, but this was over Lee. This was big.
Yeah, well, actually, it's 2 impressive wins. Not only did he beat the Lee Generals, Rebalt did last Friday 7-6, a great defensive battle. Lee ended up missing a field goal at the end for Rebalt to get the win. Then Rebalt had to go, I believe, on the road last night to Live Oak in a district game that they needed to win, and they beat Live Oak Swanee 33-26. So Rebalt's had 2 wins in the last 4.5 days.
All right, we were going to cover all of the other high school action from last week and then look ahead with Justin Barney coming up. But right now, let's zero in on Rebalt. Say hello to Coach Kelvin Smith of Rebalt. And congratulations, Coach, on 2 quality wins in the span of about 4 or 5 days. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, I'll take it. I appreciate it, guys.
Take us back to Friday night first before we get into the game against Swanee last night. Lee was riding sky high. They were the talk of the First Coast in a lot of ways. Take us back to that game and how important was the win?
Well, it was very important for our program. We knew going into the game the things that we needed to do to be able to slow Lee down. We knew we weren't going to be able to stop him completely, but we just wanted to slow him down and have a chance to win in the fourth quarter. Like you said, it was a defensive battle. Neither one of us kept pushing the ball up and down the field, but it was hard to get the paint. So we just happened to score and get our extra point, and they ended up missing their extra point, and we got out of there with a 7-6 win.
It was a great win for Rebalt over Lee last Friday. Coach, I would imagine Live Oak Swanee's tired of seeing you guys as well. That's the second time in the span of less than a year you've caused those guys a little bit of heartbreak. That's a huge district win for you last night.
Absolutely. It was actually the first time, Hacker, we were actually able to go down there and win during the regular season. Last year we won in a tiebreaker, getting to the playoffs, but the year before they ended up knocking us off when we traveled down there. So it's a heck of an environment to play in, and I was proud of our guys to be able to go down there and on a short week and be able to get that win. Big district win.
Kelvin Smith, coach of the Rebalt Trojans, join us on the high school half hour with that big win last night, and it doesn't stop. You got to get ready for more. But I guess that's almost kind of good news, bad news. This was a makeup game, right, because of the weather.
Right.
So being able to fit it in, Coach, did you catch them at the right time? Would you have been able to have the same type of football team on the field, say, if it was played back in September?
Well, probably not. Our original plan was to try to play this game right after the hurricane, that Monday or Tuesday, but we just couldn't get our schedules intact. So we ended up just finding this Tuesday, which was good for Coach Hall, and we ended up having to come off of the Lee game and playing. They ended up coming off a game against Childs last Friday, so. And then they have to turn around and play again on Friday. At least we have a bye week this weekend, so we're able to heal up and get some of our guys healthy.
You know, Coach, that's interesting. In 4 days, you've taken on O.J. Small of Lee, former Florida Gator. And then last night, you take on Kyler Hall, former Florida State Seminole. You obviously played for Coach Bowden at Florida State as well. That's kind of a cool deal.
It was. Coach Hall is doing a great job. You know, somebody has to win that game. We're going to end up competing for a few years to come, you know. But he's doing a great job. And, you know, it's always tough to be able to go out to Swanee and come out of there with a victory.
Well, this is an easy segue. We'll get back to high school in a minute. But what in Sam Hell's going on up in Tallahassee right now with all that? As a former player, alumnus, there was at least a little bit of chatter from some of the other players not happy with what was going on.
Well, you know, I think it all starts with the quarterback. So, you know, we lost Francois, you know, that was a big chunk of our offense. So, being able to get a true freshman in there now and just try to see him mature every week is tough. And playing opponents that you're playing, you know, everybody's out to Florida State every week, so they're going to see their best. So they're going to have to step the game up here defensively until they're able to pick it up on offense a little bit more.
Well, with combined records of 4-5, those Florida State tickets will be pretty easy to come by the last Saturday in November. Hey, Coach, back to Rebald. You mentioned you had a bye week. You know, I ask you this every year, you know, on the postgame show, but for the Wednesday afternoon listeners, you guys stack your schedule at the beginning, and you did it again this year. And every single year, it seems, you guys get better middle to later in the season. Is that why? Is that what goes into your thinking of making it so hard on yourself at the very beginning of the year?
That's part of it. We try to stack the schedule early in the year, but we also want to see where we, you know, see where we can come out the block hot and try to have a fast start and be able to end fast too. So, you know, we go ahead and especially this year as far as the point total playoffs and everything. I just wanted to make sure we're playing some quality opponents. And we got lucky and got some good matchups here at the beginning of the season. So it's definitely going to help us toward the mid-season where we are now. And hopefully we'll keep peaking toward the end of the year here.
And we're going to find out what the points add up to as far as what the playoff picture looks like. But just in case we don't get to talk to you before the classic against Reigns, tell all those Rebald fans to come on out and watch some football. Invite them out right now.
I really don't have to let them know about that game. They're already asking about tickets now. So that game continues to get bigger and bigger every year. So, you know, it's going to be a great game this year. Reigns, Coach Wiley's doing a fantastic job. His younger kids from last year have grown up. You can tell in their play. So it's just going to be a great game. It's going to be a great matchup on a Saturday afternoon. And hopefully everybody will come on out and enjoy the game.
You know, we have 70-plus schools, Joe, that we cover here in the Northeast Florida, Southeast Georgia area. You could definitely make the argument Reigns and Rebald now are among the top five.
Yeah,
I mean, they're both playing ridiculously good football.
Which is what you want, especially when you talk about that area. It's been so supportive throughout the years, the Northwest Classic and then both schools for a long, long time. Coach, best of luck. Keep it going. You'll be in the postseason, we would expect, and we'll hopefully visit again soon.
I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, Kelvin Smith coaching up Rebald as they have the off week. Then they take on Stanton. That's a home game. Then they have Yulee before they finish out against Reigns. So,
How about that stretch? You beat, like we said, you beat Lee on Friday, and that's a great win, an emotional win, but at the end of the day, that wasn't a district game. It means a lot of bragging rights and maybe means something in the points, but to take care of business and to know that you're going to the playoffs, you had to travel to Live Oak to take on a pretty good Suwannee team in that environment down there, even on a Tuesday night, I bet was pretty harsh for Rebald to go into, and Rebald went in there and won. That's an outstanding win on a very, very short week.
Yeah, 33-26 compared to just mustering that one touchdown. Nice bit of points going on the scoreboard. All right, we'll say hello to Justin Barney coming up here in just a second. We'll make sure that we try and paint the playoff picture as best as possible, but it's a point system now, so it's brand new, but we'll get a better idea of what's going on there. Also, what's happened with Trinity Christian. They had to forfeit a game. What else is going on there? And all the other big games that are coming up. Thanks to the Golf Club of Southampton. Don't forget, man, anytime you want to go out there and play, you're going to find a great track. But also when it comes to planning Christmas parties, any holiday party that you want to plan, take advantage of their clubhouse. It's a great setting. You can call Allison at 287-PLAY. Find out about that. And, of course, if you want to go ahead and tailgate and party and let them do the cooking. They got a great menu for you, especially all of those right there on 210. Make sure you check out the Golf Club of Southampton. Justin Barney coming up next on Midday Chalk. 20 minutes in front of the 3 o'clock hour, high school half hour. It cranks along. Our man Justin Barney coming up. Thanks to Beaver Toyota. They're in St. Augustine, and they're a short drive. And when it comes to great deals, you don't mind that roadie, that's for sure. Great selection. But the easiest thing I can tell you is to start shopping online the virtual way. And you can do it at BeaverToyotaSt.Augustine.com. That way you pick out the vehicle you want with the price that you want. And then you close the deal, and then you drive up and pick it up. Make sure you check it out, BeaverToyotaSt.Augustine.com. All right, our buddy Justin Barney joins us now. Justin, how you doing?
Not too bad, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I tell you what, we're getting back into the thick of things. We're not having to worry about hurricanes. And some of the games that have been rescheduled are all starting to fall, including one last night with a big win for Rebalt over Swanee. We're starting to catch up, aren't we?
Yeah, that was pretty good. The last big one in the area to have been played, just a lot of district implications on that one. And Rebalt, on a short turnaround, they played Lee on Friday night, really physical, good game. And a very quick turnaround, having to play on Tuesday night, and they come out alive over the 33-26 win. So huge win for the Trojans, and they get a bye on Friday. So about as good of a shakedown for Kelvin Smith and company as you can have if you're a Trojans fan. You're 5-2, and the biggest win of the season for Rebalt, just being as a district win, and you almost in a sense clinch a district title with that victory last night. As you see, Swanee is the team to beat in that district. So I think Rebalt doing what it needed to do last night, and they don't get much bigger than that for the Trojans.
It was a great win for Rebalt. It was a great 4-day stretch, or I guess 5-day stretch for Rebalt now, with wins, like you said, over Lee and over Live Oak Swanee. Justin Barney, the Florida Times Union, and Jacksonville.com. So, Justin, Brent Martineau and I are in here last Friday doing the pregame show, getting ready for the Bowles broadcast and the Bishop Kenny broadcast, and your tweet comes across the line that Trinity Christian had to forfeit that game to Bowles due to what I perceived to be an ineligible player. I know they had an appeal about that yesterday. Just take us back to how you found out about that and what a shocking turn of events. That was a great night for high school football. Trinity got the victory, but it's all for naught, apparently, having to forfeit that game.
Yeah, in that game, very good game, Trinity 40, Bowles 28, really a standalone game that night with all the hurricane cancellations, and it was a fantastic affair. They had not played in almost 17 years. Just a great game for high school football. The atmosphere is fantastic. But a kid who returned a blocked field goal in that game, Jonathan Ely, big swing there on special teams for 80 yards and a touchdown, was ineligible, shouldn't have been playing. And some coaches saw that in the paper the next morning. I started getting calls that Monday after the game about an ineligible player and should not have been playing. And so those calls started coming in a few days after the game and led to an anonymous phone call to the FHSA about an ineligible player. And that kind of started the domino effect. I've been waiting to hear something on that. And last Thursday, the 10-day deadline that Trinity had to apply. It's appeal to its response, and Friday the decision came down. FHSA was pretty good on keeping me in the loop on things, and Trinity turned around, appealed that decision yesterday in Tallahassee. That appeal was denied before the sectional appeals committee. They have since announced that they're going to appeal to the board of directors. Next board of directors meeting is not until after the playoffs start, but the FHSA said yesterday that an emergency meeting was being scheduled to hear that. Appeal from Trinity, and if you don't get in that case, you're Trinity, you're pretty much at the end of the rope if that does not come to pass. So I think it's a pretty open and shut case. Trinity has admitted there was some wrongdoing. Violations were committed. Their hope is that the FHSA looks at it as an inadvertent violation as opposed to one that was kind of a preconceived violation and lets them off a little bit. But having read all the stuff on it, I just don't know how they're going to wiggle their way out of this one just with things being so in black and white. Yes, I think some things in there were inadvertent that the FHSA did agree with Trinity on that were not done maliciously or with ill intent. But I think the violations are pretty cut and dried when you're looking at the rule book and seeing it's there in black and white. Trinity did violate those. And I just don't know if the inadvertent issue, the excuse that Trinity's applying to this situation is going to hold up. He shot down yesterday in front of an appeals committee, and I just don't know if that board of directors is going to go against that and flip that over. I could be wrong, but I just don't. Having read this case from the beginning of it, I just don't see it being overturned.
Yeah, and the way you explain it makes all the sense in the world. The end of the road may come sooner than later on that one. All right, anything, maybe one or two that popped out at you from last week before we start looking ahead to these big games coming up?
I think the first one that jumps out is from last week is Rebalt 7, Lee 6. Lee had just been chewing teams up relentlessly pretty much for the last 2 years, and they just could not do anything against Rebalt. And I really missed the boat on this game because I thought Rebalt offensively was not going to be able to do much anything on that Lee defense. Yeah, I was right about that, but on the flip side of that, I picked Lee to score 40 points in that game, and they didn't even scratch double figures in that game. So very, very impressive Rebalt's defense and the game plan they had dialed in for Lee, and really focused everything, all that defensive attention on Derek Jones, that fantastic Generals quarterback. It did not give him much room to breathe in that pocket, and I held him to one of the lowest rushing totals of his career. So a fantastic game by Coach Redden and Kelvin Smith over there at Rebalt. And Lee had a last-second field goal to try and win that game. Not even a chance at that one. So 7-6, the final score. Rebalt didn't need to do much offensively just because how well that defense played. So I think that one is the one that really jumps out at us from last week.
You know, Justin, Lee can make a deep run in the playoffs, certainly. They need to figure out what they're doing at kicker. I mean, I know you're in the middle of the year now, getting towards the end of the year. I don't know if they can hold tryouts or what, but, I mean, you got to think they're going to be in a position late in the playoffs if they make that run. We all expect them to, where they're going to have to make a kick, and they missed three of them last week, or I guess at least two, like you said, and the last one wasn't even close.
Yeah, you've got to – I mean, once you get into the cutthroat part of the season, I really think you need to start – focusing on those special teams, and you know, some of these schools, just especially gateway schools, just don't have a lot of that success at place kicker. There's so much talent elsewhere in the field, and special teams, the kicking aspect has not been a point of emphasis for quite a few of these teams. And you know, we've seen a few years ago Reigns in the playoffs struggle with the kicking aspect. And you know, I think the later you get into the season, you know, unless you're just an Aquinas or a Temple playing or a team like that, where you've got not a whole lot of weaknesses on either side of the ball, you're going to need that kicker. And you saw in that league game, if you can't hit a 30-yard field goal, you know, it should be pretty automatic for a lot of teams in this area. You're going to have some problems going forward in the playoffs in these close games.
For sure. All right, we've got the American Electrical Power Rankings coming up here in just a second. Also some games to look forward to. But I got to admit, just reading from Jacksonville.com, which is where you can find all of Justin Barney's stuff, I don't understand the point totals. Just as an example for fans who may not have seen this in the paper, it's laid out district champs, 5A to 8A, earn playoff spots. The other four in each region determined by the top point totals. It goes on to say Mandarin has 33.17. Sandalwood has 32. Others in the region, Winter Park has 44.29. Flagler Palm Coast, 41.50. Stop me when I've confused everybody out there that's listening.
It is, you know, one of the coaches the other day emailed me and said, if you have any easy way to figure this out without getting algebraic and an abacus out and stuff. So I think there's a lot of confusion on it. But the crux of this is you get points each week for the opponents you play. So, you know, those points are given out based on the record of your opponent that you're playing. So, you know, say you go down to, I think a 20-point is the lowest total you can earn, all the way up to 50 points. So, you know, if you beat a team that's finishes 9-1, you get the maximum amount of points on that, which is 50 points. And if that team made the playoffs in either of the last 2 years, you add 3 points to that. So the most you can get from a team that you beat on the schedule is 53 points. If you lose to a team that's 1-9, that gets you about 20 points. So you take those point totals from each of those games, grade them out over the game, amount of games you played, and that's your point total. So we will be seeing these points change quite radically throughout the end of the year. I mean, it just so much hinges on your quality of opposition. You know, I think Bowles, from a point total perspective, would not make the playoffs if it started today. But again, Bowles would be the district champ if the playoffs started today. So
right.
There are so many little variables in there, and it just makes it kind of exciting because you just don't know what to expect, and these things have a tendency to change each week, and you add a Trinity forfeit in that situation, and maybe other teams forfeiting along the way. I mean, it just changes things so quickly and so rapidly. Even if you've seen from week to week, these last 2 weeks, things have changed quite a bit substantially on that. So we'll be interesting to watch come week 11.
Well, we had an interesting conversation on the postgame show last week with David Penland, the coach of University Christian, and there was a lot of frustration he had with this whole system because they're not being able to find teams that can play them. They're having to play teams that are just starting their football programs. I believe the team they played last week came up here with different colored helmets on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a joke.
Yeah, David, I've talked to him numerous times about it and swapped texts about it. And he sent me an email the other day and said, this is just ridiculous, you know, just having to play these kind of games. And the last game for UC, they played, I think the running clock started in the first quarter because the officials were so scattered on things. You know, it's just that I've never seen a team like the UC schedule such just baffling competition. They're playing teams that I've never even heard of. Kingdom Prep and I mean, unbelievable teams that weren't even around a year ago. So I think UC is one of those extreme examples of, you know, good teams not being able to find teams in this area to play. And, you know, maybe that changes next year for UC. You know, they finished strong. They've got a Madison County and Clay left on that schedule. That's big heavyweight games there for UC. You want to be playing the best competition late in the season. I think they'll get that in those games. But, man, that schedule has been atrocious for University of Coastal just for these first half of the season, having to play these nobody teams. And you can thank that new playoff scheduling format for that.
All right, Justin, stand by.
Now, it's the 2-Minute Drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Get your Gator Game Day tailgate catering delivered to your tailgate every home Florida Gator game. Visit moescateringfl.com to order.
Frank Frangie joins us now. Frangie Show getting ready to crank up.
What's up, everybody? Looking forward to it. Good to see you. How are you there, buddy?
Frank, I'm good, man. How are you?
How do you feel about the scale of uniforms, Zach?
I'll tell you, I've talked to a couple of recruits on Gridiron.
They like them?
The recruits like them.
You know what? It's all that matters.
At the end of the day, that is really all that matters. So
I listened to Frank yesterday, and look, I love you, man. You hired me.
Yeah.
You got me in this business.
Yep.
But you sound like one of those old farts.
But did you hear my disclaimer?
Well, yes.
I said I don't want to sound like an old guy.
You admitted it.
No, listen to me. You're not listening. Your problem is you don't listen, okay? Let me tell you, so I'm going to coach you right now. What I said was, if the recruits like them and it helps you recruit, then I'm all for it. Did I say that?
Yeah.
Were you listening then?
Yeah.
Did your radio work?
Yeah, you did.
No, I also might have added that I don't particularly like him.
Yeah.
You know what I am? Hacker, I'm honest, okay? Joe doesn't listen, okay? He's got that big the goatee messes on it. It hurts his neck and pulls it down. That's what I said.
But what's so funny is that every other week you get that traditional look, which I agree with you. It's a traditional look. I like when they break loose.
I said it's good for the recruits. I don't have to like it. Okay.
Now, the other thing is, I never.
You know what? I don't mind the helmet.
You know what I think? I think Brussels sprouts are probably good for you. I don't particularly like them.
You and I are in the same camp.
I got
camp
that right there, Joe.
Yeah,
so there you go.
So you got plenty coming.
Okay. We're going to talk less uniform.
Yeah.
And a whole lot more about football. I'm talking about the Georgia Bulldogs and are they switching places with where the Gators have been for a long time? We're certainly going to get into that. I'm even going to talk soccer.
Yeah,
a little soccer.
I did a whole segment about you last night. There's going to be no fist pound next summer in 2018.
You know what else is going to not be? I believe. I was into the I believe. I had it down on everything. So we'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on the show.
All right. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it. All right. Let's get back to Justin real quick, and let's do our American Electrical Power rankings. We have a couple of honorable mentions we like to throw in there, and then also our top five. Thanks to American Electrical. Look for that red, white, and blue eagle on the side of their truck, and you know it's a local company you can trust, American Electrical. All right, Justin, get us going.
We'll go with the honorable mentions first. Got six of them. Reball, Trinity Christian, Bowles, University Christian, Ridgeview, and Baker County coming in at the honorable mention spots, I guess spot 6 through 11. Number 5, we have Rain. Number 4, Lee. They dropped down from 1 to 4 this week. Bartram Trail, 3, Fleming Island, 2, and St. Augustine jumping up to number 1 this week with Lee's loss.
Yeah, they had a big win. All right, Hack.
Yeah, two honorable mentions. And again, these 7, you just throw them in a hat. I got University Christian at 7. I do have Fleming Island at 6. Rebald enters my top 5. Reigns, 4. Lee, 3. Bartram Trail, 2. And I have St. Augustine as the best team in the area right now.
Yeah, they've been impressive. All right, Justin, plenty more to look forward to beginning this weekend. We'll tell everybody to follow you on Twitter. Appreciate it as always.
Take care, guys. Thanks.
All right, at Justin Barney TU. Make sure you check him out.